Mr. Mervyn, Reel 5. Coming on to weapons and weapons training, were you issued with your own personal weapon?
Rifle, yeah.
You were issued with that at Brandsperth?
Yeah. The number was set out in all rifle sailing, but I think it's put on the name. And the rifle was zeroed in at Brandsperth. That had a small range, and they used to zero the rifle. You know what I'm talking about?
Who did that?
An armour. There would be an armour on the camp with the assistance of the sergeant, and they would. We'll put a target up, maybe just 25 yards away, and you shot at it, and then they could tell where the shots fell on the target, whether you were shooting to the left, to the right, or up, or down. And they would alter the foresight, you know, the bit at the front of the gun. The back sight is the one that you look through your eye, and then the little tip at the front of the is your foresight. Well, they can alter that. They can take them out and alter them. And so if you're shooting to the left, then they just put one on which brings it back. Or if you're shooting higher, they put a lower one on. And that's sort of zeroing it in to your eye. When you had that rifle the whole time you were at Brandsperth. And after it was zeroed in, they then used to take us down to Whitburn Ranges to go down on a bus on a morning. Through Durham, Gorton, Sunderland, down to Whitburn, have a deal shooting and bring you back, maybe still, I don't know, 1-2 days a week. And then apart from the rifle, we did the Bren gun, which was a light machine gun. And I think that was all the advances.
No other weapons training at Brandsperth?
No at Brandsperth.
What kind of rifle did you have?
Lee Enfield 303. 9 pound in weight, I think. And
what did you think of it?
Alright. Had a kind of kick on it then, because it was more than the shoulder. It was cunning, it was cool.
What did you think of the shooting?
Well, I didn't mind it. I'd never fired a gun before, so it was it was interesting, I suppose, we used to fire the targets and use you fire from different distances. I think the first one you started at 600 yards, and then you had to run down 100 yards and it would be like a firing position. You'd fire the target would come up, you'd fire two rounds. Then you'd have to get up and run another 100 yards to 300 and fire two. Then run another 100 yards and fire two, another 100 yards. And then until you got to 100 yards from the target, then you had a 6 bayonets. All the other ones you fired from the bottom line on the 20. But on the last one, you had to stand firing from the shoulder. Well, you just run 600 yards and you knack it. And you look on the right of going up down like that, and you get, you're looking at the targets. But that was all part of the training, running down and learning to control your breathing to hold it at the right time so you could squeeze the shot off. And that was that. And all that was in your 6 weeks. So, learning to march, learning to shoot, learning to drill with a rifle, doing the physical training to get fit, and running the shoot. There wasn't much spare time in the 6 weeks.
Were you taught how to clean the rifle, strip it down?
Every time you used it, you had to clean it down, and you used to come and inspect. There was a pull through, a little weight on the end, a little bit of rope. You used to put it on one end and then you used to take it down through the barrel, and then you used to have some, maybe 4x2, like a bit of waste. You used to pull it through until it was clean, and then you put a very thin film and oil on. And then sometimes if the barrels were badly It was a bad borough. I mean, these guns have been going through during the war, you know, and they weren't new. And some of the boroughs maybe haven't been properly looked after. Somebody would have it on this put through a little bit of sort of gauze, a bit of wire wool, not wire wool, but when you pull it through, it scraped a bit off, you know, not a lot, it just poisoned it a bit, you know. Put it on, and you had to clean the magazine. And it, you know.
How many rounds did the magazine hold?
About 10. And one at the spot. You have 5 bullets on a clip, 5 rounds on a clip. And use the end, push the clip on, then use your thumb, push the 5 in, and then get another clip and push another 5 in. And then, like if you're in the line, you put a middle one of the spot. That meant that you had 4 magazine in the other one of the spot. But for the Bren guns and the Sten guns, they used to recommend, I think we hold 32, we only put 30 in. It was so that the spring wasn't depressed all the time and we didn't lose its spring to push the rounds down, you know, to spring them up.
Did you have to learn how to take it, dismantle it in the dark?
Yeah.
With
shoot your eyes and
blindfolded on eyes should.
Yeah, especially with a Bren gun. With a rifle, it was pretty easy on it before, you know.
What about the Bren gun?
Bren gun, it's a few more working parts in it.
How often did you fire the Bren gun?
Nearly as often as you fired the. But when you went down on the ranges, you fired the rifle and the Bren gun, you know.
So everybody had to be proficient with a rifle and a Bren gun?
Had to be to a certain standard, yeah. With it. But we used to call it shooting for your pay because, like, if this is where it makes a fallacy of it, if you were in the course, like the engineer uses a signal there, and you would pass like a trait test, you know, well, a trait test for an infantryman was his prowess with the rifle or the Bren gun. Well, what used to happen was, and maybe the thing that the butts, what we call it, where you're in the butts, and they'll put the target up, you know, and it's got the ball, the inner, the outer, and all the rest, you know. And you fire a shot, there's lads down in the butts, there's a squirrel lads in the butts, and there's about 2 to each target. And there's 2 targets. When one's up, there's one down, like a countdown. So when this one's up, and they say, right, we're going to fire. And they'll fire a shot, and the bullet will go, and then you look up, and you can see where it's gone through, you know, and you have a big pointer, and you point it, you know. And if they miss the target, they have a flag, and you wave the flag. And by pointing to it, you know how to aim off, you know, if it's a bit breezy, you know, and it will. And so you fire your shots like that. Well, you had to attain a certain score, you know, so much for the ball, you got, I don't know, 5 points for the ball, 4 points for the minute. So you did this, you're all wanting money to say, and you find that a pencil, because after the shots have been on, you pull that down, and the other one goes up, and an officer comes along, and have a look and see what, and he writes the score down because he's number one. But if anybody's missed, I don't think I have to put a pencil going through, it'll make the same hole as a bullet. So when he's coming along, and you would say that's random pencils in, because you would get no money, you wouldn't get any money, like you see. And of course, after they've been done, the officer has passed it. You have these coloured stickers, just like raffle tickets, and a bit of paste, and you paste it over the hole, see? And then that's, you know, there's no holes in for the next one, you know. So it's just dead easy to ram a pencil in and give somebody a ball. Or stick a one on quick before it comes down. And I mean, everybody does it, you know. Because you didn't know who was firing on your target. You know, there would be a line of 10 lads lined up on these 10 targets, and you're down the butch, and you don't know who it was, you know, but you say, well, you know, you want to at least say that the minimum score would be 20, you know. So, alright, you can have 20. Well, it's just the way it was done.
So there was a point system which obviously affected your pay.
Well, that's what we used to see, you know. Obviously, if you weren't any good, they would say, you've got to do the shoot again, or, you know. And you were supposed to do that once a year. We had to do, as I say, our fitness and skill with the weapons was your trade. So you had to be, you know, was going underneath it. I forget what it was about 5 miles in 55 minutes or something, you know, and a mile in so many minutes and that. And that is running all the bloody sand, and you're doing these things, you kind of do this, I don't know, and you only did it. But it's all, you have to do it once a year.
Did you have to do the bayonet training as well?
Yeah, I
would. Charging dummies?
Yeah. Yelling your head off and sticking the bayonet in. Oh, yeah, there were assault courses as well. You know, all these assault courses, all the jumping over poles and walking along poles and swimming on ropes. And
was that done in full kit?
Some of it was. Some of it wasn't.
And what did you think of the Bren gun?
Good gun. Two apples. You know, it was good gun. Yeah, very good.
Did you have to learn to strip that down as well in a similar way to your own personal?
Yeah, there was a way to do it. You know. Used to tell me, you know. I don't know, I forget how many parts, but I used to take the barrel off, take the front legs off, pull the foot out, and take the working parts off, and lift them off, and used to lie them all in, like, in certain order, you know.
Was it a reliable weapon?
Oh, yeah, really. Yeah. I think everybody liked it, anyway. Yeah. Very powerful. Good, yeah.
It was a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah, I could single shot it on mine.
What was normal? Did you train on both?
All you do is just flick the lever, you know. And you have one single shot on. But when you have it on automatic, you don't just breathe it. You don't just breathe. You try and just get it 3 or 4, and then stop 3 or 4, 3 or 4, you know. Sometimes the bullet was a good shot, and you know, you single shot off. You know, it's an automatic weapon. And I'll tell you later on, it's an automatic weapon, and when you squeeze the trigger, obviously it fires around, and the gases push all the parts back. Then when you squeeze the trigger again, it goes again. When it's all automatic, you don't have to, it's just going back, you know, and it has a gas regulator on the end. With 4 positions, and depending what part of the world you're in, or what weather this depends on what setting you have this gas regulator. Usually it was on number 2, I think, for normal purposes, you know, but we used to see sometimes when the barrels were getting really red hot and that, and the gases weren't getting back better, they would move the regulator, let the glasses flow easier or something like that, you know, but it was all things that you had to learn to do. You would come along and you'd be firing away, or you'd say, pretend you're firing away, because sometimes ammunition was scarce. And they'd say, right, you know, gun stops, what do you do? You know, the first thing is, I forget, I'll check the magazine, you know, mag off, mag on. Gun still won't fire. There's another thing that you do. It's all different stages, you know. And the sergeant will be standing behind you, you know, gun stops firing.
So there's a set order to check it in if it didn't.
You know, it's like everything else. Check the fuse first. Check this. Check that. And you go through the stages, you know. And the Bren gun, you carry a spare barrel. You can change the barrel.
Yes, I was going to ask about the barrels because they get quite hot.
Yeah,
well, it would get very hot.
You can change the barrel,
How was it fired? Was it fired in a lying down position?
Yeah.
Did it have its own sight?
You could fight it from the hip, but, you know, it wasn't. Oh, I used to go out and patrol them. You used to have the sling over your shoulder, you know, and carry them, you know. But it was better from, you know, lying down, because it had two legs at the front and the thing at the back. And, of course, when you were walking with it, the leg used to fold up. And you know, you had hold of them like that. And, you know.
Did you do any other weapons training in that first initial 6 weeks?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we did the Sten. I think we did the Sten when we got the Scouser. Oh,
hand grenades?
We did hand grenades, but I don't think we did them in France. But I think the rifle and the Bend one and fixing the bayonet on and drilling and marching was sufficient for the 6 weeks. You know, it's a lot to learn in 6 weeks.
Was there any anti-gas training at that time? Can you remember?
Red gas masks.
You issued with gas masks.
Yes, we had gas masks, and they were the type where you had the two goggled eyes, and you had the pipe, and it came down into the thing. And I can't remember going into a gas chamber, but I remember having the gas mask on and, you know, breathing, you know, having it on for so long. But I can't remember going to your best training.
Did you do any tactical training? Things like trench warfare, open warfare, movement, field craft.
I used to have to learn over. Not in the first 6 weeks.
Not in the first 6 weeks, no. You didn't do anything of that.
No, I
didn't. Of that kind.
Got you familiar with your rifle and the Bren gun and the marching and got you instilled into carrying out orders that you were told, and when you went on to Strensel, you did the training.
Well, we'll come on to Strensel in a minute. Yeah. Was there any other kind of special training? What about signals, scouting, and transport? Well, was there any selection for them at that time?
No, not at them. Well, the only selections were if you were a good footballer, a good cricketer, then you had potential. The camp would say, you're going on the permanent staff. And you played football for the camp or whatever. I suppose it didn't matter whether you had an aptitude for signals, because you'd have put signals down in your trousers, but you're sent to the delta because they wanted infantrymen, so it didn't matter. You could have been Einstein, you'd still have to be an instrument, you know, you still have to be an infantryman, it didn't matter.
So everybody still had to do that first 6 weeks?
Everybody had to do it, yeah. Even when you go down to, if you go down and you're going into the Rini or any, you, 6 weeks is, it's a standard 6 weeks, I think, you know. Even when you go in the signals or the Remy, there might come a time when they have to pick a rifle up and defend themselves, you know, if they breach building or whatever, they've got to have a rifle, you know. So I think the basic 6 weeks is throughout Air Force, Army, Navy, everything, you know, and it's only when you go on to the second phase of your training when you would start and specialise.
Did you feel that training, it had a relevance for what happened later on? Did it prepare you well?
Oh, I would say so. Yeah. I mean, that's what the training was for, isn't it?
So it was all relevant, the training?
It was all the end.
What were your overall impressions of it that first 6 weeks?
Hell. Really awful. You know, running around, getting chased around, and but, you know, 95% of the lads didn't want to go to the army. And 95% of the people thought, you know, it's a waste of bloody time. I'd rather be home doing my job, and I'm doing this, and I'm getting no money for it. And I've got things to do, you know, yelling in my face, and telling them I'm scruffy and dirty, and it was there.
You mentioned the standards that you had to come to in things like your rifle firing.
Yeah.
Was there a final stage of tests at the end of the training?
All the training, the 6 weeks, I would say the first 6 weeks, you've got to be able to march, shoot. You've got to have a certain standard of physical fitness. And the whole squad is put through its paces at the end of the 6 weeks. march and display drills, you know, because on the 6 weeks your parents go and see the march on and all that. So everything is geared up, and at the end of the 6 weeks for the shooting, you should be able to know how to fire a rifle and be a, you know, comparatively with the marks and all like that, but hit the target, like, you know. And it's all, the whole training obviously was geared up that at the end of 6 weeks you would be able to march about with a rifle, without a rifle. You'd be able to take a rifle to this, you'd be able to shoot a rifle at the same with them. And everything's geared up. And on the final week, when you do a little, not tests, but you do, you know, tests, you know, and then, because you've got to, somebody's got to come out the best we could. Somebody's got to be the best shot. Somebody's got to be this, you know. And the sergeant means that you're going to cut the sergeant, is to cut the squad, you know. And then he retains that cut until the next intake, and then he might lose it, and another squad will get it, you know.
How often were the intakes?
About every Friday, you know.
So there'd be people at the camp at various stages of the training?
Was
there a final pass-out parade?
Yeah, for every stage of training. You know, when I say every stage, after 6 weeks, passing out parade.
So there'd be a parade every couple of weeks as
squads passed out. They got the other people. The people who were doing the training, they were out of the way while the passing out parade was on. Because the parents came to see, you know.
So in this initial 6 weeks, you were in more or less a training squad.
Yeah.
And I think you said it was called the Somme.
I was in Somme
platoon.
The other one was Salamanca.
Salamanca. Now, so what happened at the end of your 6 weeks? Were you then assigned into a platoon company?
No.
Nothing.
At the end of 6 weeks, it was 5 days leave. And we went back to Banff. And on the Monday morning, they put us in wagons and took us down the station and on a train for York. And there was wagons waiting at York and took us up to Stansfield. And then it started all over again.
So where about to Stansfield?
Well, it's obviously it's York. You go up past the Rowan Trace Factory, and that's about it.
So just outside
it's
of York.
Of York. It's 3-4 miles.
What are your memories of Stansfield? And was that a large camp?
Bigger camp than Stansfield. The thing was different. Well, they took us down to Dillon's here for the train, and the train came in from Newcastle. And we were all standing on the station, you know, and okay, there's a carriage booked for us. And there was people in the carriage, and had to get out. But we had been told at Newcastle that the carriage was reserved from down to York, and we could use it then, but we might say, oh, you know. But as soon as the train pulled in, they were out, and it was reserved for us.
So did you go down still in this Somme squad?
No. Once it finished, we went down as 120 Dillons to Stansfield. When we got to Stansfield, I say there was a hell of an organisation when you reckon up, you know, there's army wagons, because it's York, I mean, it's quite a garrison town, and in those days, there was a lot of, if you reckon up, there was British troops from in Europe. They were in the Canal Zone. They were in Aden. They were in Africa. They were out in Singapore, in Malaya. They were in Hong Kong. They were swimming, they were all in the Caribbean, you know, everywhere. And so you've got intakes of troops, and they're going to different garrisons, and they're all there. So, you know, around that way there was the Dillons, the Kings were in Yorkshire, they eventually went to Kenya. There was the Duke of Wellington's, they went to Kenya. And people are coming, and they're all...
This is all at Stansfield?
They're all... No, they're like infantry with the Stansfield. There was lads famous who were going to Malaya, because they had The Lee Enfield 303, but it had a shorter barrel because of the drinking, you know. Ours was a bit longer. And there's how we call it, fastening it and in the barrel. And had a rubber pad. You know, a slight modification. And with those guns, there was Coyleys, Somerset, because Stansfield was a light infantry depot.
So there were light, other light infantry battalions at Stansfield?
Drafts. We went down and we were drafted down, you know.
So the Durham, the DLI weren't actually there at Strensel, it was just a draft of
Durham.
So how were you received here at Strensel?
Oh, right, because of the training depot. Once again, the sergeants, the corporals, and that's got the little tin gloves. you jumped when they spoke, you know, you ran at a double, as I said, double, but once again, you were a little bit wiser. You weren't as green as what you were at Brands within your first 6 weeks. You knew a little bit, but you still ran wild on the show.
Can you remember what date this was?
Date? Mm. Oh, well, let's say I went in June. August, about the beginning of August. 52.
August of 52. When you went to Strensel, were you issued with any additional uniform or equipment?
No, it's the same uniform.
You weren't given any extra when you passed out from Brandsworth?
The only thing, from back tracking while I was at Brandsworth, the 1st Battalion came from Berlin, and they were in the camp as well. And before they went to Korea, we got the freedom of the city of Durham. And we all marched through Durham. We all lined up outside the prison, you know, down Elbert. And all the companies lined up round there, and the band was there, and we marched from the prison up over Elbert Bridge, round that horseshoe for the field where the steps are, and it was all cobblestones then. And up the Bailey and up into the Palace Green. And all the companies lined up on the Palace Green. And then the ground arms, and they were all left on the Palace Green with a guard. And they went into the cathedral and had a service. Then after the service came out, and then we paraded from the Palace Green down through the marketplace, up. And then up to the, you know where the drill hall is now? More or less the same place but the old drill hall. And that.
And that was whilst you were in your first 6 weeks? And that was the 1st Battalion coming back from Berlin?
That was the 1st Battalion getting ready to go to Korea. And they were supposedly putting the colours in the cathedral for safekeeping, you know, on the map, putting the stuff in. Because the 1st Battalion got the train at Brandsworth Station. To go down to, I don't know where they went to Liverpool, I don't know where they sailed from, but they got on the train in Brandsworth and they went down. As I say, I don't know where they sailed from, but that was why we were just about at the end of our train. And I think after the battalion had done that parade, I think they then went on embarkation leave. And then when we came back, they went away. Because they sailed in, I think they sailed in September, at the end of September, or they got there in September. It's around about that. But that happened while we were passing. But it's Strensford. We were just a new group of intake people to be taught further training, you know, advanced training, you want to put it. I think by then we obviously, we threw grenades.
So you weren't issued with any other equipment. No. Did you take your own issue rifle down with you, or was that left at Brandsworth?
No, I think the left at Brandsworth, we've got another rifle down at Brandsworth.
You'll be given another 303?
It was zero then.
And same sort of zero then.
But there, at Brandsworth, we then learned failcraft in the sense of camouflage.
Well, I'll come on to that in a minute. I just wanted to talk briefly about the camp. Was it larger than Brandsworth?
A lot larger, yeah. And it was brick. Half of it was brick.
What can you describe it?
Big square. Obviously, at the entrance is the guard room, brick building where the guard is, and the, you know, the barrier goes up and down. At the back of that, I think there was a small assault course, and there was a. And after that, all of the thing with the gym was there. Then as you turn around, you have the huts. The barrier entrance is a bit thin, it's long. You know, good, they were good. Compared to Brassville, which were wood, these were brick. And the floor was highly polished. And there was two red lines down each side, and they had to be done with cardinal red. And the beds had to be up to the line and polished, you know. But they were good beds. Then over the top, there was another part of the camp which was wood, which was known as the Spiders. And I think they were from like the First World War. They looked there.